Yes. You know, what does it mean to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, and all your strength? What does it mean to seek Him first? You know, we can sing those songs. It's easy when we're all here together, and during this time of worship, we're giving God this time. That's one way. Being in worship is one way to give God, to seek Him. It's not the only way, but it is one way. So what does that mean? And we're going to talk about that a little bit this morning. And before we do that, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Oh God, I would be remiss this morning before we hear the word and come to you in prayer, that you prepare our hearts now for the seed to fall upon good ground. I'd also be remiss this morning if we didn't pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ, Frank and Becky, and we lift them up to you. We thank you that he is here. We pray for her while they're away from one another, for strength and power and grace and mercy in their time of need, and especially pray that for others. Again, Lord, we are mindful that each day that you give us is a precious gift. We don't know from one day to the other. The scriptures tell us that life is a gift, and it comes from you. And we thank you for that life. So as we gather this morning in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, may your Holy Spirit move in powerful and mighty ways in our lives as we hear the word of God once again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm reading to you from Deuteronomy, the 30th chapter, verses 15 through 20. And please hear these words this morning. So we begin at verse 15. See, I set before you today life and good, death and evil. And that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments, his statutes, and his judgments, that you may live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you go to possess. But if your heart turns away so that you do not hear, and are drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I announce to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not prolong your days in the land which you cross over the Jordan to go in and possess. I call heaven and earth as a witness today against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that you may, that both you and your descendants may live, that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey his voice, and that you may cling to him, for he is your life and the length of your days, and that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give to them. May God add his blessings to the reading of his word for you and for me today. At some point in your life and in my life, if it hasn't happened, every one of us will stand at a crossroads. And while we're standing at that crossroads, we're trying to decide, which way do we go? Which way do I go? What will be the best way? What will be the most efficient way? What will be the most life-giving way that I can go? Which way? And if you haven't been there, you will. Or maybe you're at one of those crossroads today. Maybe that's where you are today as you came to worship today. Maybe that's where you are. You're standing at that crossroads and you're so confused and so caught up in what's happening. You don't know which way to go. Moses is now at the end of his life. This great leader of the children of Israel who has given his life, the latter part of his life, to serving God, to hearing God's command to go and free his people from Egyptian bondage. And so now he has led the children of Israel from all the hardships in the wilderness. He has led them now to this point where they're getting ready to go into the promised land to possess the promised land. Moses knows that from this point on, he will not be the leader. God has given him his life up to now, but God has not given him that grace and mercy now to move on into the next phase of the life of the children of Israel. And so they're standing there. He's standing there on the plain there of Jordan, looking over into the promised land. And being the leader, the great leader of that community that he is, he knows what these folks need to do in order to have the life, a life that could be more abundant than they could even ask or think. And so here he is with the children of Israel, and they are standing at this great crossroads. And he's saying to them, you have the opportunity to choose. We all have opportunities to choose, don't we? Each day, we make choices. Every one of us in here have to make choices for the good or the bad. Sometimes we don't know how those choices will turn out. We get the research that we need. We ask people for advice. We ask people for counseling. And even then, sometimes it is hard and difficult to decide which option to take. But here on this day, as Moses now is talking to the children of Israel, he says, God has given you the opportunity to choose, just like he's given you and me. He gives us that opportunity. He gives us life. The very fact that we live each day and are able to make choices is a gift from God, which I take for granted sometimes. So they're at the crossroads and they have to choose. And you know, we live in a time and place in our nation where we have lots of options. You walk into any store. You call up any medical facility. You can live anywhere you want. The choices are abundant. The choices are endless. The choices are variable. And there's a variety of choices that we can make. Sometimes that makes it difficult when it's too hard. I remember one time when our kids were little and we decided we would take them out to eat. They were probably, 3, maybe 5, 7, 9. And we went to one of these places where they had this big buffet. And they had all the desserts right there in the very beginning. And the Jell-O, you know what I'm talking about. And the kids, it was just chaos. They went nuts. And we went, because we were trying to let them decide what they needed, and they couldn't make up their minds. And, you know, there's a line of people behind us, and I'm sitting there, you know, I'm just sweating. My face is turning red because we're trying to get these little kids. There were too many choices to make. Everything looked so good. And they couldn't decide what they wanted to do, how they wanted to, you know, what they wanted to eat. Needless to say, we never did that again for a long time till they got a little older and we felt like they could make the right decisions that they needed to make. It was a lot easier for us to say, we're going here and this is what you're going to have. That made it a lot easier. But we live in a time and place where we can make decisions. And, you know, they come at us all the time. You know, you want to use paper or plastic? Yeah, we can choose those kinds of things. Do you want organic non-organic? Yeah, I guess that's a good word. that's a good word. That's good. But you know, we live in that kind of place where we have an opportunity to do that. Small, medium, large, or now they have super. You know, you can make that choice. Fries or chips. And you would go, you know, the list goes on and on and on. But here, God has set up a plan for the children of Israel. Don't you just like it when folks have a plan all laid out for you? Now, you don't have to follow it. But isn't it nice when somebody says, this is the plan, this is the way we're going to go, this is what we're going to do, and you can just kind of fall into that. And believe and know that that person that has set up that plan hopefully knows what they're doing, and if you do it exactly the way it's supposed to be, it'll work out. Oh yeah, there's always little challenges, you know, along the way. God has set a plan for the children of Israel. God has set up a plan for you and for me today. This is not Moses' plan that he is giving to the children of Israel. It's not his plan. He didn't come up with it. Moses is the vessel that God is using so that those who will follow after him will have the best life and the most meaningful life that they can have. This is the God that sent Moses to them in the first place to bring them out of Egypt. This is a God that taunted the Pharaoh because he wouldn't let the people go. And God set in motion a plan after the plagues that they would be free. This is a God who made sure that the children of Israel would be provided with the gold and the things that they needed to survive when they went out in the desert. He provided for them. This is a God who fed them out in the wilderness. This is a God who guided them by day and by night. This is a God who caused their pursuers to fall into the sea when they were about to take them over. He has set a plan for them. And Moses says, I call heaven and earth down to witness what I am saying to you. And what he means by that is that all of nature is a witness to what I'm telling you to do. And if you don't do what I tell you to do, the consequences will be severe. God has set a plan. And he wants the children of Israel now. And he's given them the opportunity to choose which way they want to go. Isn't that marvelous? He could have made them decide. He could have said, this is the way you're going, and there's no two ways about it. Just like I did with the kids the next time we go to the store. I said, this is what you're going to eat, and there's no two ways about it. And you will eat it. No, because it costs money. No. Y'all know how that works, don't you? So Moses says, here you have two choices. You can either have life and prosperity or death and adversity. Life and prosperity or death and adversity. Well, doesn't it seem natural to you that they would choose life and prosperity? Wouldn't you? Wouldn't you? There it is. I mean, that's the opportunity of a lifetime. Life and prosperity, it is right there before us. We have those same decisions today. Why don't we choose life? Why don't we choose to go that way? People don't. We know from our biblical history, you know, we can look back and see. We know from biblical history that the children of Israel didn't. Why? Why in the world would anybody choose death and destruction over life and prosperity? Why would anybody do such a thing? It's right there. First of all, it's because we're sinners. Second of all, it's because we feel like we know what's best for us. God has nothing to do with it. This is the God that gives us life, but he has nothing to do with it. We feel like we know what's best. Moses reminds them, if they make the correct choice, the promise is set before them. They will have a long future. That means everything that they do, all the human activity that takes place, that God's divine presence will be with them. Don't you want to be at a place where you sense and believe that God's divine presence is with you always? Why would you want it any other way? Why? But he also told them, but if you choose death and adversity, there will be consequences for that also. And the consequences aren't just what's going to happen to me or those whom I come in contact with. But the greatest consequence of all is that God's divine presence will not be with you. It will leave. It will not be there to be your guide and to be your help and to be that provider that you need. That's a bad place to be in, isn't it? When a person gets to that point in life where they feel like God's divine presence is not with them, that's an awful place to be. But if they choose life, if they choose the commandments, God promises them this great and wonderful thing. They will live secure. Their offspring will be blessed. They will be blessed. Their descendants will be blessed. The land will be fertile. They will be fertile. But if not, And this land which he has promised to them, if they choose wrongly, then the consequences are that they will lose that land. They will be forced to live outside of that land. They will not have the security and peace that they need. So, how do they choose? What do they have to do to choose life and prosperity? What do they have to do? The main thing they have to do is to be obedient. Oh, we don't like that word. To be obedient. Obedience is more than just doing what somebody tells you to do. Moses is telling them, say, look, you need to choose to be obedient to God and to God's ways. Well, what is God? What does that look like? What does it look like to be obedient to God and God's ways? Well, Moses is talking about the Ten Commandments. He's talking about the covenant that God has made between them and Israel. And they are called to obey those commandments. And obedience doesn't really mean just obeying a set of laws, doing a set of laws. That's not what it means. Obedience means that they love God with all their heart, all their soul, and all their mind. You see, the laws of the covenant and the Ten Commandments are meant to preserve the covenant and to keep the children of Israel and to keep us in a right relationship with God. It's not just a matter of obeying and doing, do this, don't do that, don't do this. There's more to it to that. When we do what God calls us to do, when we obey His commandments, it helps our relationship not only with God, but also helps our relationship with one another. And by the way, the central part of those commandments of obedience was keeping the Sabbath holy. Was to give God that time, to give God that moment in the week. As a way of thanksgiving, as a way of celebration. The Sabbath day was meant for a day of rest, a day of recollection, and a day of reflection. How often do you have time to do that? Rest, recollection, and reflection. It's a gift. God gives us that gift. It's a gift that God affords to us so that we might rejoice and delight and be thankful with all that God has created and with all that God has given to us. And we are to enjoy that day. We are to enjoy that rest. We are to enjoy being with one another. That helps build relationships, doesn't it? Obeying God means we love God wholeheartedly. It means we walk in God's ways. It means we are out there living lives of righteousness. It means that we're out there seeing where if things are unjust, that we step in and try to make it right. It means that we practice loving kindness. Obedience means more than doing when what one is told to do. True obedience means listening to God. Not just hearing Him. See, there's a difference between listening and hearing, isn't there? Obedience means we are listening to God with our whole heart. What is God saying to us? What is God calling us to do? Obedience is a discernment process. They're at the crossroads. The children of Israel are at the crossroads. They have to make a decision. They can either be obedient to what Moses is telling them to do, what God has called them to do. And what does that require? It requires some thinking, doesn't it? It requires some inner contemplation. It requires that deep within their heart of heart and souls of souls, they are seeking out what God wants them to do, how God wants them to live in the world. And we're told that if we're obedient in that way, that if we're doing more than just hearing and listening, that we're truly ingesting what God is saying to us in our deep soul and heart, it will change our lives. It will transform us. But if you turn away and do not hear, God says, and you go after idols, then the consequences will be severe. What does it mean to love God? What does it mean to be obedient? What does it mean to love God with all our heart and mind and soul? What does it mean to choose God's way? I'll tell you what it means. It means we give to the poor. Here's the practical part of this. Yeah, preacher, I hear about this making decisions. Yeah, I hear about being obedient. We hear those words all the time. But what? How do we comply? How do the children of Israel comply with what God has set out for them to do? When we love God with all our heart and mind and soul, we will give to the poor. When we're obeying the plan that God has set out for us, we will fight for justice. When we are hearing God and truly being obedient to God, we will care for the hurting. When we are listening to God, we will treat others fairly. We will share our food with the hungry. Those are all part of being obedient. We will be patient with our own imperfections as well as with the imperfections of others. That's hard, isn't it? If we are truly being obedient to God, we will celebrate intimacy with the one whom God has called us to be with. If we're truly living out God's plan, we will surround ourselves with the love of family and friends and those things that we love. If we're truly being obedient to God, we will not argue with one another. If we're being transformed by what God is calling us to do, if we're truly being obedient to God, we will apologize to someone, even if it was their fault. We will step out, and even if it was their fault, we will apologize to them. Now, that's a hard one, isn't it? If we're truly being obedient to God, we will forgive someone even though they don't deserve it. Have you ever been there? If we're truly being obedient to God and we want to follow God's plan, we will worship God with all our heart. We will pray genuinely. We will love the church. You will believe that God loves you. We will remember the stories of Jesus. We will see Christ in people around us. We will share God's love with someone who has forgotten all about it, forgotten what it was like. We will open our hearts to His Spirit and let His Spirit search us and move us in such a way that we long for a deeper and more intentional walk with God. Brothers and sisters in Christ, just as those folks had a chance to choose, so we have a chance to choose today. You were standing at the crossroads. We stand there every day. And we can choose to be obedient and have that life that God promised, that wonderful life. Or we can choose to put other things in the way that are more important than God. Now, I know what you're going to say, and maybe this will be another sermon. But, preacher, what about those people that in their lives we have seen them do all these things and bad things happen anyway? I will say to you, if that's so, God does not abandon. He will not abandon you, and He does not abandon them. Just like He didn't abandon the children of Israel. And He doesn't abandon, He hasn't abandoned us today, even though we live out of His plan. Because He's always there to extend His love to us when we come back. That's why He sent Jesus Christ into the world. Constantly. Oh, He's always seeking us. Why don't we seek Him? You have a choice to make. What will it be? You know what will happen on both sides. What will be your choice? Hopefully, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that'd be the first choice you make, to invite Him into your life. If you're already a Christian and, you know, you've been part of the church, do you love the church? How many Sundays of worship did you miss this year? How much are you giving? Uh-oh. Guess it's time to stop. How much are you giving? Is there somebody you need to apologize to? Even though they were wrong? Is there somebody you need to share this love, God's love with? Is there someone you need to tell them about this plan so that they can have this life too? Yeah. God in His mercy and grace has given us the opportunity to choose. Isn't that wonderful? Let us pray. God, we thank You for the greatest gift of all, Your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank You, Lord, that You reach out to us even when we go astray. That's been proven again and again throughout the Scriptures. It was proven and it came to its fruition when You sent Your Son, Jesus Christ, into the world, who forgives us, who invites us to be in fellowship with Him. Oh, Lord, our choices are many, day in and day out. We prayed it through the power and gift of Your Holy Spirit, that God, we would follow the plan that You have for our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.